She was actually right on.
Good evening, everyone. I'll call tonight's city council meeting to order, January 24th at 6 p.m. If you all could please rise, join me in a short private invocation. Now, if you'll join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For the record, all council members are present, and Maria Quesada and Angel Garza are telephonic. And Mayor Logan is out. I better add that in there for the record. So for item E, is there any public comment or citizen input for the council this evening? Online? Do we have any online viewers? Okay. We'll close citizen input and move on to item number two. I will entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item number three, tonight's consent agenda. I'll entertain a motion to accept tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
All approved? Or all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
I'm assuming that's an aye for in favor of Councilman Garza.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Motion passes. Moving on to item number four, current business. We have the Adams County Pet Rescue Report, and we have an Adams County APCR representative to present.
Good evening, everybody. Looks like it's been a long time. Been here. 2021, it's been a long year. It was a very long year. We don't want to repeat it again, hopefully, anytime soon. We had COVID with our staff in the summer, and that we just never seemed to recover staff-wise. Everybody's sick, and so we spent most of the year, it felt like, without being staffed properly, so it's been a long year. You can see our numbers were down this year, last year, 2021. Cats, of course, are always steady. Our county numbers were down with dogs, and I think part of that is because they're mainly large dogs that come in from the county. And our adoptions were low because we can't get our animals in to get spayed and neutered like everybody else. They're finding out their vet care, it's really hard to get into a vet appointment. So it just backlogs and water jams everything. So, but we stayed busy. We're currently still very full. We did do really well with return to owners with city dogs. We even had three cats get returned to owners, so that's pretty amazing. We did the vaccine clinic in June. In the parking lot, that was really successful. It turned out to be, I think, one of our largest so far in the past, in all the years we've been doing it. I think we had close to 175 that came through with rabies and parvo shots. We'll try to do that again this spring, hopefully earlier this year. We also did two cat spay neuter events for Adams County, anybody in the city, the county could go to. The first one we did, I think everybody, because it had been a year since we had, a year and a half since we'd done it, we had very few people from Adams County that took advantage of that. We actually had people come from down by Yakima. You know, we waited till the last 2 days and we opened it up to other areas. And, when we had our last one, I think it was in November, people finally got clued in, and we had a lot of people from the city and bring their cats in. Trying to think else. It just seems like we did do a lot of community events. We just put our nose to the grindstone and just kept busy. So there's really nothing exciting to report. We maintained our sanity. That's about it. I brought Caitlin Kane over here for, she's doing animal control, and I thought put a name to a face here. She didn't want to come up and say anything, though. Do you have any questions or anything?
Council? No. I think Caitlin needs to present next time.
She should.
Right her in.
But anyway, thank you, and we'll have another good year, I hope.
Thanks for your hard work. Thank you. Moving on to item 4B, the application and damage fees for special events and complex tournament rentals be presented by Madison Martinez, Parks and Rec Director.
Good evening. So I just wanted to meet with City Council today and talk about our current policy and procedure for special events and tournaments. As it is right now, we do not require any deposit or any kind of extra money due at the time of application for damages. That's kind of left us in a sticky situation a few times this past year, so I wanted to bring it to council and make some changes to resolution 2018-02, or as it was previously titled. So I'll just read my explanation of issue. So in coordination with the efforts to evaluate the expenditures to maintain and preserve the city's recreational facilities, staff has also evaluated the efforts to prepare for, maintain, and clean up special events in the parks. Special events and tournaments are generally large-scale events that require coordination, reservation of part of a park or all of a park, with an estimated attendance of 150 people or more. If it's less than that, they can do a rental hourly, so it doesn't apply to this specifically. So after evaluating the expenditures of 2021, the staff and the Parks and Recreation Committee have recommended fees be added to the established applications for use of City of Othello facilities, tournament applications, and special events. We would like to include a non-refundable application fee by resolution for administration fees, because tournaments and special events are a combination of efforts from event directors and sponsoring organizations to county and city staff members. To add to this, often when an event gets canceled, the coordination and event staff is already done and scheduled. A large issue we ran into in 2021 were damages or inaccurate description of anticipated attendance for the event. When the attendance for an event is larger than expected, this leads to additional items for the event from the special application fee. Damages kind of work the same. You know, if there's damages, we don't have any money to pull from. We basically have to give a receipt or some sort of written form of pictures of the damages and then ask for money after the fact. So I'm asking staff, or staff recommends that City Council approve the proposed application fees, and I'm asking for a motion to approve the additions to the resolution that we have in place, which is...
When we're talking committee, weren't we talking about, okay, it's non-refundable, understandable, they make an application and then don't come through that we, you know, keep the money, but that the fee would be applied to, that the application fee, if they go through with the event, be applied to the event fee as well.
So actually, that's how it was in the past, but I'm asking for council to approve a change where no matter what, the total is gonna be due at the time of application. So for a tournament, specifically, if you apply for a tournament, you'll pay the $150 application fee, and that's non-refundable. So, because I don't know if you guys realize this, but those applications for tournaments go through three different offices now. So that we're asking it be non-refundable, because half the time when people cancel, it's up to like 5 days before the event. So all the work's done and we get no like pay out of it for our efforts. So we're calling it administration fees.
Understandable, but it's still part of the fee or should be part of the fee. So, okay. So the balance, if it's costing $500 for the event, then the balance should be $250, because they've already paid $150 to get the process going.
But they wouldn't get that $150 back
if they
cancel.
If they decided not to do it and cancel.
That would be due up front then, and then
yes.
the balance would be due.
So the way that I'm proposing that this work is, let's say you have a tournament. So you come, you bring us your application, you need all these extra things. So we're asking that you pay the $150 when you turn in the application, as well as the fees in full. So that way, if you do cancel your tournament, we keep the $150 and then you get back what you would pay in extras or staff or anything like that.
So that's an additional.
No, but then that's yes. an addition to the fee that they're already paying.
Yes, for administration fees.
But the other way to look at it is that the administration fee should be in the fee.
Yeah, well, as it is right now,
it's
not.
Part of the fee. So basically what you're asking us to do is raise the fee.
Essentially, yeah, for the application portion of it. The only thing that we talked about in our Park and Rec Committee meeting being refundable is the $500 damage deposit, because if you return, you know, the facilities to us in the same condition that you rented them in, then yes, you'll get your $500 back. But for basically every tournament that we had in 2021, because the applications circulate so often.
I don't disagree with you there. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, so we're just asking to be compensated for that time and effort, whether you go through with the event or not. Yeah, that's why.
What's the $500 fee?
So the $500 would be a damage deposit.
Right, but so, and the damage deposit fee, that's past due. That should have been done a long time ago. But the $500 event fee, so what is that? That $500 should pay for administration time, should pay for all time.
Yes, and so I'm asking that be included with the changes.
So you don't need to raise the fee another $150.
It would just be that there would be $150 that would be kept if they canceled.
That's not how this reads. This reads that it would be a $500 event fee plus an additional $150 application fee, is the way I read it. And that if you didn't go through with the event, you'd get your damage deposit and your $500 event fee back, but you would lose $150. I think what Councilman Lawless and Councilman Everett are saying is that the $500 event fee is paid for up front, like Ms. Martinez is requesting. If you don't go through with the event, then the $150 application fee is retained,
yeah.
And then the $350 is returned, and that the $150 application fee be considered as part of the event fee. Did I interpret that correctly?
Yeah.
Because as it is right now, we don't have anything like that. We do for the pool, but nothing for tournaments or special events.
But I think the way that it reads on the paper is that you'd be paying the $500 application fee plus $150, and then you would get the $500 back, and you would keep the $150. So that's I think that's where the confusion is.
Right.
Yeah, is that it looks like it should be $500, and then if they cancel, then they get like they said $350 back. You keep the $150.
$150 is not.
It's not $150 on top of the $500.
So that is what I'm asking.
You're asking for a $500 damage deposit. So if they follow through with the event, they've got to pay you $500 before the event.
Correct. Yeah. So when they turn in their application,
right.
They need to pay everything.
In
full.
Addition to that, they've got a $500 event mm-hmm. fee. Okay. And we're saying is that the application that started the process for the reservation of that space on the calendar is part of that fee. And at the end of it, if they don't go through with it, you keep that money. But if they do go through with their event, and it was a $500 event fee, they only have to pay $350.
So you would be lowering it
mm-hmm.
to $350, So now...
No, because the total would be $100.
No, because she was saying that you would pay the $500, right? Take the damage deposit. We all agree that that's overdue and that needs to be done. But the $500 is for the event, right?
So yeah, so that's just dependent on what you want at your tournament.
And, you're asking them to pay that upfront.
Including the $150 application fee for processing and administration.
We have to pay for Public Works to do whatever they do up there. The restrooms, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Picnic tables, outhouses, all that comes out of that $500. Correct.
So officers don't receive any money for their time that we spend on coordinating
the administration,
and planning and scheduling.
What you're saying is the administration is looking to charge for their time that it takes to process the application on top of the $500, which goes to Public Works and other departments for the actual running of the event.
Yes.
So it's basically you're asking for a $150 raise.
Sure, if that's how you want to go about it.
I'm out on that. I'm not from the raise of $50. I'm good with taking out of your event fee of $500.
If they cancel.
$150 of it non-refundable.
If they cancel.
So, in case of cancellation.
Right.
So you guys would get paid for your time if they canceled the administration.
Then there wouldn't be any reason for Public Works to be there. Well,
at all. Yes, so in the forms that we actually went over in the Park and Rec Committee meeting, all of those in the verbiage say that if you cancel, you know, within a timely manner, then you'll get your money back. But if it's 14 days before your event and you cancel because coordination and planning is done, then we actually keep the full amount.
Okay, so you've set a time frame for the coordination and planning to be completed, and so that...
Yes, yeah, because we're trying to make all policy and procedure, mm-hmm. and from the Park and Rec side of it the same, whether it be you rent the pool, you rent Lions Park, you rent a gazebo, anything like that. So we're trying to keep, you know, fees and stuff like that the same across the board. So for years to come, people who rent, you know, spaces for any sort of event know the policy and procedure, and it strays, you know, away from cancellations.
Should have included the policies and procedures in this.
Hold on.
I have it with me.
So you cancel 2 weeks in advance, you keep the entire event fee?
If they've been talking with us, I mean, I can see a reason why. I mean, obviously, we're open to reschedules and stuff like that. Well, as it is right now, they can cancel up to 5 days before. And that's been strenuous on us.
That's what the new proposal.
Yeah, that's what we discussed at the Park and Rec.
That's not being proposed right now.
That's what?
That's not being proposed right now.
No.
No.
I'm asking for $150 be added for our administration fees, the circulation of the application, the planning of the event, the coordination of overtime, anybody else, you know, that may be working the event, and then, you know, whatever fees that they have that get added on for a tournament or a special event, that's all dependent on what they need at their event.
Well, I'll entertain a motion in any form that council would like to.
Well, I don't.
Like
I
to
don't
forward.
Think.
If there's a motion.
Go ahead, Angel. You were at the meeting.
So here's what I think. It's kind of hard to charge $500, you know, when the application fee is $150 and not giving the money back. So I think if we charge $150 for the application fee. And if they cancel before 2 weeks, we keep the $150. And if they proceed, to do the event, then they pay the $350 on top of that. I just think $500 is a lot of money to lose. You know, for whatever reason, it may be COVID. You know, what we're going through right now. For whatever reason, you know, a death in the family or whatever the reason may be. I just think $500 is too steep. I think we had talked about in the meeting that the application fee is $150, and of course the damage deposit will have to be paid. That's refundable if nothing happens. But in my view, I think the $150 application fee, you cancel before 2 weeks, you still gonna lose that money. And if you're not gonna cancel, before the 2 weeks, you'd have to pay your other, your $350. That's my opinion.
You pay the balance.
And that's a pretty steep number typically. I mean, our special events, our tournaments don't exceed, unless it's like a special event like Charles, where he runs, you know, Chicano Latino State. That's a whole separate thing. You know, that I think he may be paid $1,700 out of pocket, and that's like a, you know, a big event that happens annually. Typically, a tournament will only run like $200 to $300, whereas a special event, depending on how many people you have there, can, I mean, I think it's 416 and 218, and then updated this year, that's also gonna go up. So $300 is, you know, that's kind of reaching. For a two-day tournament, even with staff, they pay maybe $200.
So the application fee on top of that, another $150.
Yeah, because us as staff, like, office staff, we don't get compensated for the time and effort that we put into planning these.
You do get compensated.
You do. You're getting paid.
You get paid every other week or every week. So off staff does get reimbursed.
I mean, that's our decision whether or not we want to recoup that loss. Would be to the city, but you guys get paid by the city to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
Part of your job is to process applications. I don't
see. I'm with you. I'm okay with if they cancel out,
mm-hmm.
then you keep the 150 out of the total that they were going to pay, and the rest of it's refunded.
Okay.
But I'm kind of with them. I'm not okay with like charging an extra 150 on top of all the other fees. I can see where, like, if they cancel out, then the city should keep a portion of that for all the time that they put into getting that prepared. And so a portion of that should be surrenderable.
So, Spencer, do you have anything to say on this, since you're kind of the city administrator and the finance guy tonight?
Well, I think if it sounds to me like there's been some misunderstanding of mm-hmm. Desire here. So I would suggest we take this fee schedule back and rewrite it with the tonight's guidance.
Yeah.
So have another committee meeting and get it squared away.
Yeah, okay.
We can have that fee, the part that would be surrendered, and the remainder would be reimbursed.
So as long as the fee schedule is going back for discussion with the Parks and Rec Committee, I'd really like you guys to take a look at that, the pool fees, comparing with other areas, because, like Tim said earlier, the motorcycle pool, what we have compared with motorcycle is our fees are ridiculous. I think that, you know, when we're running a $93 annual park pass, motorcycle you can go buy a park pass from an adult for $65. So I'd like you guys to take a look at that, why we're taking money from stuff, because as long as the schedule's going back.
So, Council, if you're in agreement, our administration's request will send this request back to the drawing board.
Yes.
Angel, Maria, do you have any comment? Any further comments?
No, I'm good.
Mark? Okay. Yeah, thanks, Ms. Martinez. We'll send it back to you, and I'm sure that Mayor Logan and we'll be getting in touch with you to get a committee meeting going.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Spencer. Moving on to item 4C, 4C. There is a public hearing, and I'd like to open tonight's public hearing on the Parks and Rec plan at 6:25. Go ahead, Ann.
Thank you. So let me just set a little bit of context, and then I'll have Chris Doro provide some more background on the plan. But just as a reminder, the Parks and Rec element of our comprehensive plan is what also serves as our parks plan for getting grants through RCO. And so it's very important that we have a plan. They require that the plan be no more than 6 years old. Ours is expiring March 1st, and so that's why we are having an updated plan. And there's, you know, some specific areas that RCO requires. We've covered those. I've submitted the draft to RCO, and they agreed that it meets all their requirements. So we're headed in the right direction there. Planning Commission started working on this in July, and then I'll let Chris, as the chair of the Planning Commission, tell you a little bit more about the work that they've done on it.
Well, the good news is I've managed to trim this down to only about an hour and a half presentation on parks tonight. Okay. Well, hearing that there's some dissension in the ranks, I guess I better focus on the main points. Considering too the amount of public that we have here, I'll just keep to that if that's okay. And if y'all have any questions, we can go through that through there. But first, I wanted to thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to do this on the Planning Commission. One of the things when I came onto the Planning Commission, one of the big comments that was made was we never get to do anything. And now it seems like we're doing stuff all the time. And this was a fun process to go through. It took a long time, and I hope we gave you guys a very detailed report with maybe some new ideas on approaching things for Othello. Like I said, I'll be focusing on some key areas. I do want to point out there are five requirements from the RCO. Those are finding goals and objectives, reviewing the inventory, doing a demand and needs analysis, developing a six-year capital improvement program, and public input. And we accomplished all of these in this process. We bring it now forward to you for consideration. The first place I'd like to start is on, I believe it's the third page, so we'll go. Oh boy, mine's totally different. That's good news. Oh yes. Let's go to the plan. I guess it'll be on the second page of the actual plan. There we go, right at the bottom there. I'd like to start there because I think this is really important as it comes to our inventory. This is our current inventory for the city of Othello. We have four developed parks. We have Lions Park, which is a 26.9 acre park. We have Kiwanis Park, which is a 15.2 acre park. These would be considered general use type parks. These are the places that you go to recreate in a lot of different ways. There are some restrictions, as you all know, in Kiwanis, but general recreation happens in general use parks. Pioneer Park is a 1 acre park in the middle of town, and Triangle Park is over on the corner of 4th and Juniper. We also have some undeveloped parkland that has been dedicated to us, but has so far been not been used. That is the Park Street property, which is just a little bit past out past Broadway. That is a 3.1 acre undeveloped parkland. There is the Rock Park, which is at the end of Palos Verdes, and the Stage Zone Linear Park, which is parallel, I believe, to Highway 26 in a strip there that consists of 2.17 acres. The thing I want to point out on this is the total acreage. Is 43.43, so 43 and a half acres is what we have for that. I want to also point out the annual maintenance operation costs of each site. You'll notice that the pool maintenance operation is our big M&O sort of thing that we deal with on an annual basis, and that's why it's separated from the rest of the maintenance from the parks. But that is what it's costing you annually to run your parks. The key observation that we've had is the same number, same amount of acreage, the same amount of developed parks have been in existence for a very long time, stretching back to the 1960s. Since that 1960s, however, we have almost tripled our population, yet we haven't increased our recreational acreage. And we found this to be a constant concern throughout making this plan. And we will get to it in much more detail in the future. But when I was a little kid, these were the four parks, well, three parks primarily that I played on. And they're still the same ones today. The next I'd like to highlight and present is on page 8. Yes, there it is right there. This is a map of our current parks. They're in the light green and potential recreational facilities for the future. There's a number of different places available throughout Othello, which we wanted to kind of point out where our parks are and what areas we could expand and develop into the future for possible recreation, as per what I pointed out, since 1960. I'd like to go ahead and now move on to the next page, which is the goals that we developed and the objectives. And I'm going to read through those so you see kind of where we're going and where we focused this plan. The first goal was to explore and identify and invest in growth opportunities for parks and recreation, with the objective to perform a feasibility study for adding new parks, including a soccer complex and an ecological nature park. The reasoning for this will become evident a little bit farther into the presentation. Focus on unique amenities for all parks. The objective here is to have at least one unique feature or amenity in every park. We found it important to make to not just have general use, but to also have some unique opportunities within those parks while still maintaining some sameness as well. Incorporate better distribution of amenities, increasing neighborhood access to recreational activities. The objective here is all housing areas should have a general use park within a half mile distance. We have two general use parks, that's Kiwanis and that's Lions. And the goal is to have similar types of amenities. For example, Lions Park has water features. Kiwanis doesn't. And in planning for future water features, it may be the best interest to make it a little closer for the people who live in different areas of town to have opportunities to engage in those type of activities and not have to walk 2 miles across town to do so. So that was the reason why we put this as a goal and objective. Goal number 4, ensure general use parks have sufficient open space for informal activities. We found this to be also a challenge for the future and the amount of current land we have available. Each general use park, this would be Kiwanis and Lions, should have no more than half of its area developed with formal facilities. The secondary objective is informal space in general use parks should be retained in pieces large enough to be usable. At the time, we determined this to be 100 feet by 100 feet. What is 100 feet by 100 feet? If you are sitting at the baseball or the football stadium and you looked out on the football field, that would be about a little bit more than 30 yards out into the field and not quite all the way across the field in a postage stamp. We felt that was adequate amount of space in between the formal facilities to allow for general use. Periodically identify and prioritize future needs and facilities. The objective here is future needs and facilities should be reviewed and prioritized annually as part of the budget and capital facilities plan process. Goal number six, develop partnerships to invest in recreational opportunities. The objective is for every project to explore opportunities and outside entities to invest in these projects. We have a number of nonprofits, a number of foundations around the area, and we have a number of public service communities, clubs that are always looking for these opportunities and making sure we commit to engaging those opportunities could be helpful to us in accomplishing our recreational goals. Maximizing park safety. We have a number of objectives here, a number of which you guys have already taken care of. But objective one is to install security camera system at each park. Number two, ensure that adequate lighting for all facilities and visibility is obtained from surrounding streets. To solicit objective three, to solicit feedback from the public about safety concerns related to parks. And objective four, to revisit these needs annually. One of the things that we found from the survey is one park didn't feel as safe to the public as another one. And we felt that was important to make that consistent. So that is why that's in there. And finally, goal number eight, increasing accessibility and usability of the park for all community members and visitors. Two objectives here, to provide at least a 25% inclusive features in the playground. This would be making it capable for everyone to enjoy. Objective two, recreational needs need to be available for all age groups to be inclusive of all abilities. This is where things get a little interesting in this plan. We do a really good job of providing recreation for young people, which is good because most of our community, as we know, is made up of young people. But there are certain age groups which require a different type of recreation. There, we might need to put a little bit more effort. The 55-year-old and up recreation is a little not quite as targeted in the stuff we do for recreation. And that might be why we had some of the survey results that we did, because people recognize this. And again, we'll be talking about this in just a little while. So that's kind of where we focused on that. And now I'd like to move on to pay to the next page. And it's going to get a little more interesting here, I promise. And we're going to go a little quicker here on these next two pages. This is the future needs analysis, and I want to kind of talk about these. If you, by the way, have questions, this is where I got a feeling there might be a few, please feel free to ask those. But we're going to go through all the future needs analysis, and I'll also, where it seems necessary, explain the what's and the whys. But before I do, I want to also talk about, we had a survey that we did. And how many respondents did we have from that survey? So that was sent out on the utilities bills, but it was also staff engaged the public at public events to get input, to have them do the survey. For example, the Christmas event, there was booths set up there. There was booths set up at other events as well, as I remember. Maybe not. We also engaged some public service groups. I talked to a few community clubs directly, like the Rotary Club, like the Beta Club in Othello, about this to get input from them as well. So we got a lot of information off of the survey. And there's some really good information in there, and there's also some stuff we wish we would have done just a little differently. And I just to explain, we didn't have a whole lot of time to do this, and there was a lot of things that everybody wanted to get in there. And what we think we might have lost a little bit is context. So there's the results of the surveys are on the very end of your report. And there are some things that were ranked very highly on our survey, which we think with context would have changed a little bit. So like case in point, an indoor stadium to play soccer or football in. Who would turn that down, except maybe a city council who would look at the operation maintenance and might be a little bit suspect about that, but who would turn down a free stadium? Nobody is going to turn down a free stadium. On the other hand, running a bond for $12 million for an indoor stadium might not get the same support within the community. So we thought context might have been missing in some of the things. Despite that, there were still some very surprising survey results that impressed us, you know, especially around the farmers market, especially around the ecological nature park. Those really surprised us. And the comments that people made were incredibly influential in a lot of this plan. So if you have any questions about that survey when we get to the end of it, fire away. But those are the areas we focused on based on what we're doing. I do believe that in the future, we're going to probably run another survey when it comes to parks with a little more context to make sure we're accomplishing what people want. The thing that I do want to point out, though, one of the indoor facilities received a lot of votes. Of course they would. Again, who would turn down a free one? Who would turn down a free gym? And who would turn down a free stadium? But for investment for your community, don't disregard that. Return for your community on investment. Indoor facilities aren't anywhere else. This community would see dramatic returns on those investments, but that point needs to probably be made in a bond presentation than in this format. And that's why it doesn't appear in the plan at this time. Okay, so real quickly, I'm gonna try to run through this. There were several projects already budgeted and funded for 2022 that matched with community desires on the survey, including better facilities for basketball and playgrounds and more walking trails, showing that past funding decisions were in line with what the community wanted. Next item, more and better soccer facilities were a clear need in the survey. Despite possibly less than this reason, new soccer fields, they weren't highly voted for. For example, there were some other items on there that got higher votes. We expected it to be at the top of the list, but I think, again, context may have impacted the survey in this place when it came to soccer fields. Representative response on the survey for the soccer playing segment of the population may have not been as high as we expected. For that reason, new soccer fields we feel was an urgent need, and we added it to the projects list for 2022. An ecology nature park was one of the top three choices for new facilities in the community. The city is exploring a unique opportunity to acquire suitable land and partner with a national organization for restoration and development. Therefore, this project was scheduled for 2023. This was the area in the survey where we were very surprised to see the amount of return and how the Planning Commission envisioned these possibilities on this eco park was the opportunity to add hiking trails, which have exploded in popularity throughout the state. And if you could have a large hiking trail that had features in it, we thought the tourism opportunities around a nice ecology park would really be something attractive. There's a lot of things that can be done with ecology parks. I got a lot of familiarity with wetlands restoration projects. I mean, there's just a whole lot of opportunity. There is some land that would be very, very suitable for this. I think you guys are all aware of opportunities, but you know, hiking trails, perhaps a fishing pond would really be some unique recreation that appeals to all ages that we could probably draw some pretty significant tourism from. And surprisingly, City of Othello felt that way too. And that surprised us. And that's why it's planned for 2023. Replacement of one restroom was already scheduled for 2025. The survey underlined staff's feelings that maintenance is a concern at other restrooms. So restroom maintenance was added to the project list for 2023. Similarly, maintenance of existing paths and parks was a need known by staff. It was also mentioned frequently in the survey. Therefore, we put this for plans in the capital budget for 2023. If you walk in particular around Kiwanis Park, where the trees are awesome, but they have done unbelievable damage to the walking paths and they're difficult to traverse. And again, the folks that we're trying to reach with that sort of recreation would be the most at risk from the opportunity we give them. So this is why we want this addressed by 2023. Adding art murals to existing walls has helped deter graffiti in other locations. Therefore, this was added as a project for 2023. It is hoped that this could be a low-cost project in partnership with local artists or the schools. This is used in a lot of communities. A lot of folks don't understand. The rules of the street come into play, and there's an unwritten rule that you do not deface art with graffiti. As an example of that, you have a handball court, which has almost never been spray painted on the outside where the art is. Inside has been graffitied a lot. The rule of the street takes over there. And for the good of community, we might use that. Pickleball is a sport gaining a lot of interest in other communities. It is very family friendly, it is extremely low cost. And there was definite interest expressed in the community survey to adding pickleball as a recreational opportunity. It also, the number of ages, it increases that opportunity as well. In order to provide new opportunities for the community, the project was added to the 2023 budget. The city has been working for several years on evolving project that includes the farmers market, a food truck court, and an event center. This was the number one choice on the survey, with 42% selecting it as their top three hopes for the future. The city continues to look for the right location for this project and intends to apply for funding in time for the 2024 construction. This project in particular for the Planning Commission was the one that made us feel it was time to add to our inventory for parks. We just couldn't see how to get this accomplished in 2024 with the amount of available lands, with the goals of this plan, and the amount of open space we want in particular at Lyons Park. Splash Pad has been a community wish for a long time as well, and the survey confirmed people are still interested. The city has applied previously for funding for this project and will take what is learned from previous funding cycles and try again to secure funding in 2024. Again, the Planning Commission's recommendation for the splash pad is to be considered for Kiwanis Park, to separate your water features and give both areas of town an opportunity to easy access to a water feature. Improving street hockey rink, this one's a little near and dear to my heart, was shown to as a need on the survey, as well as being known to the staff as a need. The city had previously planned for a complete renovation in 2024. However, based on discussions with a major proponent of the rink, who also happened to be on the Planning Commission, a less expensive renovations could be adequately added and greatly improved the functionality of the rink. This actually freed up some more funding for other projects with wider participation base, such as foosball. Futsal is indoor soccer. And even though I'd love to see a completely renovated hockey rink, futsal is more important for the community. And right now the hockey rink gets used more for futsal. So adding more futsal would be really beneficial to everybody. Futsal courts, as I just mentioned, are in no need. And since existing park facilities, such as tennis courts and the hockey rink, are currently being used for futsal, building official courts was moved up to 2024 from its previous spot in 2025. Both general use parks we felt would be eligible for consideration for futsal. If you have the opportunity to run by the street hockey rink during the spring and summertime at night, you will see that court being used. If it's not by for roller hockey, it will be being used for futsal. There are typically anywhere from 25 to 100 people who turn out for futsal. And why at night? Because it's hot during the day. A lot of people who work agriculture come out and play futsal at night. It is unbelievable how much that is used. Okay, we're getting to the end of this. The next page, in order to prioritize projects that would be used daily, such as futsal, the stage at Lions Park that would be used only occasionally for special events was pushed back to 2025. In the Planning Commission's review and the survey results, it became apparent, and in my paper I have 10,000 stars around this, so this is really important. It is apparent that Othello's parks have a capacity shortage. There just isn't enough land for all the facilities a city of our size should be providing for its residents. While Othello's population has more than tripled since 1960, the parkland inventory has barely increased in 60 years. Land acquisition is critical to accomplish most of the goals our community wants. It is a priority. And it is added in the capital budget for 2024. Picnic shelters in the two main parks are reserved frequently and used without reservations even more frequently. Maintenance of the shelters was already known as a need and was emphasized by the survey results. Renovation of the three Lions Park shelters was already scheduled for 2024, and maintenance of the Kiwanis shelter was added for 2025. There's been a strong demand from the community for more large shelters. And this was emphasized again strongly on the survey. Adding a shelter to one park is scheduled for 2026, with the second one beyond the six-year plan frame. So there will be one large one. If you're looking for what defines a large picnic shelter, the one in Kiwanis near the parking area is probably the most used shelter in the city. That size is the most preferred, followed probably by the picnic shelter that's by the Arboretum in Lions Park, which is also a large picnic facility. So that's the type of things the community likes and wants. The storage room at Lions Park is in need of renovation, but it's not urgently, so it is scheduled currently for 2025. The bleachers, now this is kind of an interesting one that was kind of a surprise to all of us. The bleachers are moved multiple times per week in the summer, whether there's baseball going on or other events. So they get damaged and bent over time. Replacement is scheduled for 2025 with the possibility of increasing the number so that they can stay in place and don't need to be moved so often. But the amount of damage is significant. It would surprise you. I'm sorry I don't have pictures of it, but I'm sure sometime in the future when Madison makes this point again, she'll probably bring some pictures and it's gonna surprise you. The playground equipment for both major parks is quite old, and the survey showed the importance of updates. Of course, as you all know, Lions Park Playground is being replaced in 2021, and Kiwanis is scheduled for 2026. In order to adequately plan for the future, large known periodic costs, such as the pool heat exchange and backwash tanks, take sand replacement, are included in future expenses. These are expected to be due in 2029 as part of the 10-year maintenance cycle of these items. Kiwanis Park has several basketball facilities, but no dedicated lighted full court. Existing half-court slabs and hoops in the tennis courts are used frequently, but that ends at sundown because there's no lights. However, since the deed restrictions for Kiwanis wouldn't allow use for organized play, this item became a lower priority for the schedule beyond the six-year plan. Okay, now I get some personal freedom on this one since I'm the one presenting of it. I think the deed restrictions are the most annoying thing, an ubiquitous thing that I've had to deal with in this whole process. Apparently we can't have organized sports, even though organized sports have existed there for quite some time. The way I interpreted, based on what I was reading and talking to a few experts, is intention of this is to be organic as opposed to put together. For example, if you had a soccer field that was to be used by a soccer league, that would be not in compliance. But if there was a soccer field that people just used from time to time in an organic type of event, that would be consistent with intent. This question needs to be resolved so you can know what to do with this place. I keep on hearing we need more basketball courts. Every basketball thing that is done outdoors is completely inorganic. It is done voluntarily for fun.
So, question on, that's at Kiwanis Park.
Correct.
Yes. So our organized soccer leagues that play there, maybe that'd be a better question for Madison. Is it because we have portable nets that we put up for the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I will point out that lots of organized sports have gotten around that by using temporary facilities. But organized sports have been done out on Kiwanis for decades, including tennis, which some of you all, approved for renovations of the tennis courts for the purpose of the tennis team to use. This makes no sense to me whenever I have to deal with Kiwanis Park. This is very frustrating, and I would suggest you all get legal to find this to the end, because everyone seems to have an opinion on it, and that opinion is so friggin' ambiguous. It's just annoying to all ends. To the good of everybody in town, I agree that we shouldn't have facilities that are organized, that allow for an organized event. But those inorganic ones should be strongly considered, like futsal, like a full court basketball, and keep some of your other facilities in good shape.
Let me ask you a question.
Fire away. No, go for it. This issue.
Does the Kiwanis Park then actually come from the Kiwanis, or where did it come from?
No. The deed originally comes from?
Where does it come from? Oil or coal or?
We pulled out the deed last week because the Michaels were sure they donated it, in which case we were going to get a change. They didn't.
Why can't we go back to the original donor?
I think there's, I think, you know, that's a great question, Corey. And this is what, I mean, going back and finding out, I think that what we need to do is get an actual legal definition of what can and can't be due, what has expired, what hasn't expired, so you really know what to do, because too often we are now doing things because we think we might be in compliance, not in compliance, even though we've done things for decades that weren't in compliance. It just makes my brain hurt.
Whoever donated that park, if they're still alive, they know what's going on there.
Well, and there's got to be a time, there's got to be a time frame that
ultimately,
you know, it says that the wherever, the whatever, department or that we got the money from, that gave us the money to develop the park, that it had to be used for these, for passive or whatever.
Well, that's
but there's got to be a time.
That was another definition.
There's got to be a time where that runs out.
Was it a grant that developed that part?
There's grants.
I think so.
There's grants involved.
Yeah.
But again, the very first question I asked Ann, I said, I need to know what's the difference between an active and a passive park. And she said, well, active ones where you do stuff in the park. And I went, exactly. Yeah. I was like, thank you. That's what I was looking for. I mean, this needs to be figured out for Kiwanis Park. Kiwanis Park, when I was a kid, was the fun, you know, that was the fun park. We went there on the zip lines. It had this big giant wooden castle. I mean, that was the park. You know, it had a splash pad. It had all these neat new amenities, and we loved them. Mm-hmm. You know, and things deteriorate over time. And then all of a sudden, instead of replacing them, I've had to hear over and over again, and through this presentation, well, there are deed restrictions. This needs to get figured out. Mm-hmm. Othello lacks facilities for indoor sports during the winter, other than school gyms. Therefore, it would be very useful for indoor facilities. However, that's a high capital cost, such as facilities like these, and beyond the scope of our current six-year plan. The city will focus on more attainable facilities for now and work towards providing indoor facilities for the future. Indoor facilities were the top vote getters based on the way we put together the survey. And again, I really want to point out that in the future, if you are looking for something to invest in, as the softball fields were when they were invested in, that will bring people from out of town into this town as a tourism source, it's probably going to be indoor facilities. They're nowhere else. It's a big investment. I will also tell you, we do not have the space for that type of investment. So addressing space concerns and addressing the amount of park space you have available has to be done probably before this can be considered. But this is a great opportunity, and it shouldn't be ignored, and the city has said that they like it. More walking trails was highly desired by the community in the survey. However, the city doesn't currently have much in place to put or place to put them. It is hoped these trails could be incorporated into the proposed Ecology Nature Park. Therefore, the trail expenditure is scheduled out beyond the six-year time frame for this plan. Because Othello's small geographic size and compact development, all existing neighborhoods are in reasonable proximity to at least one of our community parks, which would be Kiwanis or Lions. Okay, getting to the end here. I want to turn to page, I believe it's page 15, and it is a breakdown of the capital facilities plan. There it is, right there. Everything I just explained to you all is, this is a beautiful little graph that explains where these things kind of fit into the capital budget and how they can be used in the future. And this was one of the last things that we went through, and I think it's a great thing to kind of see where things fit into year 2022, 2023, 2024, all the way out to 2027, and then somebody else gets to make a new plan. And that concludes my report, unless you all have any questions.
Council, any questions for?
I should also, I brought my conscience with me. Ann, have I missed anything of importance? I knew I did. Do you want to come up here and present it?
Just a few key recommendations that I want to make sure that are brought to light. So one of them is Triangle Park. Planning Commission felt like Triangle Park as it is now doesn't add any value to the city. There's nothing to do there, no one goes there. And so their first recommendation would be that the city surplus that property if possible, just to, you know, not have the maintenance cost, that ongoing cost. Their second recommendation, if planning or the council doesn't want to go that way, would be to add some amenities to that park to make it more useful. They suggested pickleball. That's a small facility. A pickleball court is 20 by 44. So, I mean, you can fit that just about anywhere. So that was one key recommendation. The splash pad, I think Chris kind of mentioned, the Planning Commission strongly suggests that that be at Kiwanis and not at Lyons Park to add facilities to that end of town and also to not take away from the swimming pool. The map that's in the plan, I just wanted to mention, that's still being worked on. Kurt gave me a draft at the end of today, so by next time we'll have an updated map to look at. And then the chart that's up there now, so the black text was the things that the council had approved in the budget for this year, and the red were the things that were added. I left them, you know, black and red, so you can see the changes, so that if you wanted any changes made, we can make those, and then after it's settled, then we'll like do it year by year, you know, work in the new ones. So that was all you missed.
I had that written down, I skipped over it.
It's trying to be speedy. I do want to say one thing. The council felt very strongly about Triangle Park, that if something isn't done with it, it is an ongoing maintenance operation cost for pretty much no return. So if it isn't surplus, we highly recommend something being placed there. When it comes to pickleball could also have a basketball hoop put on it. I've seen it done multiple places, so it'd have multiple uses. Not that that's necessary what you have to put there, but again,
I think adding any sports equipment down in Triangle Park, if my comment would mean anything, as small as the property is, surrounded by that housing, you could look at attracting traffic or noise, unwanted noise there in the later hours. It's small. There's mm-hmm. no separation there from the houses that are down on that corner.
Yeah.
You know, 11 o'clock pickup game on a pickleball court might start to tick some.
Fortunately, it'd be very dark at that time.
Yeah.
So you might not want to put lights up on.
Headlights work wonders. Yeah, anyway, all right, that would be my only concern on trying.
It was ours too, actually. Yeah. And that's what we thought best. I mean, again, you know, we balanced it. You know, everything, you all do this on a regular basis. It's risk reward. And right now, you're getting nothing for what you're putting into your operation and maintenance. So surplusing is our number one recommendation. But if you don't, it's tough. It would be nice to have an amenity there that would probably get used of some sort that at least made that commitment for O&M money make sense.
Council, do you have any clarifications you need, Commissioner Doyle? At this time, go ahead.
That was an easy one.
At this time, I'd like to open public testimony. Is there any members of the public that like to express their support, neutrality, or opposition to the presentation? Bob? Hearing none, I'll close the public testimony and move into deliberation. Council, do you have any additional comments, questions, concerns regarding that? Hearing none, at 7:09, I will close the public hearing. And I believe we are scheduled for an additional and.
So just to clarify, all I'm looking for tonight is direction. If there's any changes that need to be made, we can't formally have you adopt this until February 28th, just because of the notice requirements. But if you have any changes to make, let's hear them so I can bring them to you, because you're gonna act on it the 28th and I'm gonna submit it March 1st, which is the deadline for RCO. So I'd like to get any kinks worked out now rather than when I bring it back for the formal adoption in a month.
The only thing that I was thinking about is a splash pad. If you put that down in Kiwanis Park, you know, sometimes, you know, families go up to the pool and they might have little kids. So now the little kids are going to have to go down to the other park for the splash pad where the other ones are going to be there. So then the families aren't together. So
yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have one at both parks. But
yeah.
So, council, no suggestions for edits? I guess the directions to move forward as planned.
Thank you.
Into the next meeting. So, moving on to item five, unfinished business. Council, is there any unfinished business that we'd like to address this evening?
The porch light out in back here on the door, get that fixed, please.
So I got the comments too. The stoplight back and forth, and then if somebody can please have carried it back, if it flashes.
The red light.
Yes.
I noticed that the other night. Drove by there. One of the red lights at, on the north side of Main.
Yeah,
it's on the north side of Main when you're looking north, and one of the red lights, it does this quick flash, and it probably would be bad for anybody that has up close here.
I guess I haven't seen that.
How about the light at Main and Broadway?
Does it do that to you?
How long it hit it?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's a good 2 minutes.
That's a truck route. Ooh, yep. That's the people you're stopping the most. Yeah. And it's short light. Yeah. If there's three trucks there, only two of them are going to make it. Mm-hmm. Except usually the third one runs it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to look into that.
Check our timing.
Okay.
Yep.
Any additional unfinished business? Moving on to item six, new business. Any new business to come before council this evening? Hearing none, council will receive the fire department report. And I will adjourn the city council meeting at 7:13 p.m.
You're not welcome.